The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
Oh, it's going on now, everybody. Welcome. What a week it has been, and we are wrapping it up together on this ninth day of June 2023. Glad you are here. So, as it frequently does, the Mike and Mark segment has yielded plenty of reaction. I'm going to dive into some of what Mike and I were slinging at each other. We have calls poised and ready at 866-660-5759. But you know what I am first and foremost real quick? I'm poised for the weekend. Because it's Friday.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
I feel good.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
I knew that I would not. So good. So good. I got you.
Right. Any excuse to lay down some Deep Purple, right? You know me. 1974, the album is Burn. The song is Might Just Take Your Life. And on the keyboards, Mr. John Lord. Born this date, 82 years ago. Passed away back in 12. I know you got your Ritchie Blackmore guitars. You got your Ian Gillan vocals. And your David Coverdale right here. Rocking back and forth on that massive keyboard cabinet. And the five or six times I saw Deep Purple as a kiddo, it was John Lord who just ate up that stage on the keyboards. So good. So good. And, it's kind of like Van Halen. You know, you got your Dave people and your Sammy people. With Deep Purple, you got your Ian Gillan people and your David Coverdale people. Can't we all just get along? All right, it is. It's harder to get along when the kind of fractious and dishonest stuff that is in the headlines now is before us, and the Trump story, the indictment, the Ken Paxton story, the impeachment. There is a similar aroma coming off both of them. Let me give you 60 seconds on this, kind of shape it up. And then I'm going to play the Mike Pence Political Action Committee spot that led me to say, I am done with Mike Pence. And by the way, Mark, hadn't you said 500 times you have zero interest in him being president? Oh, I'm not talking about being done with him as a presidential candidate. That's forever. My book on Mike Pence has been, zero interest in him being president, but God bless him in so many ways as an honorable man, a fine Christian, a good husband, a great father, a great governor, a great congressman, a fine and loyal vice president. I know, except for one thing. But when you are running a campaign as caustic and stupid, that's honestly, guys saying mean things about each other, that's baked in. But the 60-second thing from the Pence Political Action Committee is like, it's January 6th. One man stood honorably and the other was demon spawned. It's like, what? It's the stupidity that tells me that for Pence, it's personal. And it is his job and it's everybody's job to get over yourselves and not have it infect your clarity. If something that happened on January 6th gives you so much of the willies, and listen, maybe folks coming after you and trying to hang you in the Capitol Dome, I bet that's daunting stuff. But it's Mike Pence's job to not weaponize that against Trump when Trump didn't do anything to make that happen. Trump showed up and said, this result is wrong. And I protest it loudly and vociferously. So did a whole lot of thousands and thousands of other people. About 800 of them couldn't stay on the right side of the law. They breached the Capitol. That's not good. Pence blames Trump for them, which is idiocy. And so is what the, and it's funny. It's not even a Pence ad. People seek to distance themselves. Oh, I didn't do that. That's not my campaign doing that. It is the Committed to America PAC, which is just totally doing Mike Pence's bidding. So when I say I'm done with Mike Pence, what I mean is, not that he all of a sudden becomes some execrable scalawag, but I've just really gone to great lengths to say that just because I'm not interested in him being president doesn't mean that I don't think he is 100% straight up guy, solid salt of the earth. I ain't saying that anymore because his just brutal and stupid flavor of his presidential campaign. Those days are over. That's it, man. He's just an ordinary hack politician now. And oh, by the way, thoroughly emblematic. And listen, he was loyal to the Trump agenda, absolutely. And they were not birds of a precisely the same feather. That's why putting him on the ticket was genius in 2016. But Mike Pence remains at his heart an old school establishment Bush style go along to get along center right dinosaur. So, see ya, Mike. See ya. So the common thread, as we get ready to go to your calls here, 866-660-5759. Common thread between the Trump indictment, Paxton impeachment, the really off-putting aroma of politics and vendettas fueling these things rather than an objective assessment of the law. Is Ken Paxton being impeached because there's really good, solid, demonstrable evidence that he did some dreadful things and it really needs to be hashed out before the Texas Senate? Or is it because Dade Phelan hates his guts and a whole lot of people in the Texas House are following him around like puppies doing his bidding? In the document thing with Trump, in an era where Joe Biden still has stuff out back the Corvette and Hillary Clinton did God knows what with various classified things, neither one of them has ever, will ever feel the sting of indictment. But we go after Trump for stuff that he took from the White House and whoops, I should have given that back, or whoops, you know, I'm keeping that as a souvenir or whatever. Is that criminal intent? Is that trying to spirit that over to Putin? Is that anything that rises to the level of indicting not just a former president? And by the way, this is probably time for me to say again that at some point we may have a former president. At some point we may have a current president.
Mm-hmm.
Who really deserves to be indicted for something. Being president or a former president should not insulate you from getting indicted for something you deserve to be indicted for. It may happen. The usual saying that no one should be above the law, but nobody should be below the law either, or targeted by the law for a political vendetta, which is exactly what this looks like. All righty, we are in Lantana. Barry, Mark Davis, welcome. Hi, happy Friday.
Right, you just, and thanks for going back into my music generation.
Oh, my pleasure, old guys rule.
I was born in 1938.
Whoa, oh my gosh. I thought he was talking about Deep Purple. He's talking about Fred Waring and his Pennsylvanians. That's awesome, man.
That's right. All right, now I'm going to comment on you and Mike. I don't think you're pointing your finger at the captain of the Democrat ship who's steering all of this stuff. That's Barack Obama.
Why do people think that? Why? Is it because Joe Biden is so cognitively declining that there must be a sharper, smarter figure behind it? I think that's probably true. But the notion of it being Obama, who's busy windsurfing with Richard Branson, Obama ain't. He's living his best life. He's out on Martha's Vineyard. He's doing fine. He ain't wasting his time or filling his days jacking around to help Joe Biden.
You still got to believe that he's exerting some power behind the throne.
Let's put this to the test. In a world where anything's possible, what's in it for him? Why would he be doing that? Why?
Power.
No. Okay. Power. How does Barack Obama get power by having control over this current drama?
Well, he's got people doing his bidding for things that he might want for him, just to be able to cast in concrete his legacy.
Okay, I'll play along. So if Biden survives or the Democrat Party survives, a Democrat president elected in 24 is better to help sort of further along the Obama agenda than if a Republican
wins. Yeah, and they're beholden to him. You know, Merrick Garland and Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden are all Obamaites.
True. And they, oh boy, especially these days, boy, do they miss someone with Obama's ability to speak coherently, his ability to remain on his feet at speaking engagements, his ability to know what time it is and where he is. They are so nostalgic.
And not falling on his face.
Literally or figuratively. Barry, thanks. There is no doubt that if you, you know, go out to Obama's compound and ask him, you know, who he's rooting for and who he wants to win, he'd love for it to be Biden over any Republican. He probably, I don't know if Obama is hoping for a Gavin Newsom candidacy, just somebody with some vigor. That is absolutely Obama's preference. No doubt if you ask him, that would be his preference. The notion of him, like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, filling his days with this, I don't know. But again, these are the days when you can't really discount much of anything. All righty. 866-660-5759. You ready? Here we go. So keep in mind, this is, and just think about this. If you've had the same, and I know many of you have, that your interest in Mike Pence being president, not so much, but what an honorable soul, good guy, salt of the earth, you know, God bless you, sir, etc. But how very sad that the last chapter of Mike Pence's public life, unless, I mean, he's, as who is it? Was it Newt? Because what's here? Hang on a second. How old is Newt? Alexa, how old is Newt Gingrich?
Newt Gingrich is 79 years old.
Hey, wow, there you go. Looking good for 79. So when you're 79, I guess 60, what is Pence? 64, 65, so something like that, 64. Called him young. I love when people who are roughly my age are called young. And in this day and age, you can run for president until you're 96. So, you know, but there are all kinds of things that could lie ahead for Brother Pence. But I think the great likelihood is that this is his last chapter of attempting to get at us in public life. Because why? Because if this fails, what else is he going to do? Run? Is he going to primary the Republican president who wins? Or if Trump wins, is he going to try to come at us in 2028 and beat us to death with his mediocrity again? I don't think so. So this is it. And that makes this particularly sad, that here is the Mike Pence super PAC called Committed to America, which is a lovely thought. Because, again, for me, and maybe for you, the book on Pence has been, President, no thank you, but thank you, sir, for standing for so many great values, for being a loyal vice president, for being a good congressman, a good governor, and just a good dude. We'd like to clone the sort of the Mike Pence value system and have that spread across public life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That takes a massive hit right now, a massive hit. For this, because, by the way, if I'm running for president and I have some super PAC running stuff, I totally know what they're doing and I totally approve, which means that Mike Pence approves of this.
A president begging him to ignore the Constitution. A mob shouting for him to die. And an anxious nation watching for one man to do what's right. A weak man appeases a mob. A man of courage and character stands up to them. That day, one man failed the test of leadership, while another stood tall. And since then, this so-called leader has continued to abandon our conservative principles. Now, with a woke mob trying to take away our freedom, we need a president who won't flinch, who won't try to cut deals with our values. A president with the courage and the faith to lead us through turbulent times and keep America the beacon of freedom for all mankind. Mike Pence for president. Committed to America PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Yes, they are. And so is Mike Pence himself, because no super PAC runs stuff at the objection of the candidate himself. I'm going to go back to something real quick, because, again, for Pence talking about, hey, me, apple pie, American flag values, that's great. He can totally do that and do it believably, incredibly. But the savagery toward Trump. First, the first offense is it's just so unbelievably stupid. You've got to try to get people who love Trump. The only solution for DeSantis, for Pence, for Christie, for everybody, is to take the pretty vast majority of people who, if they haven't already lined up behind Trump, they at least still love him and miss him, to say, look, we miss those years, too. Those were better years than now. If you want that kind of governance back, Trump can't do it because he can't win and I can't. That's the only that's it. Now, hang on. There's something I want to find in this thing. Here we go. There we go. Conservative principles. Here we go. Here we go. One of the things that that he's bagging on Trump for is a position on Ukraine. And of course, the Trump position on Ukraine is going to be skeptical about forever wars. Mike Pence is going to be all about forever war in Ukraine. Be aware of that. 824.
My heart is crying, crying. Lonely teardrops. My pillow.
Jackie Wilson's birthday would have been 89 today. Didn't even make it to 50. But the legacy lives on.
Just say you will. Say you will.
And when the argument is held, when the debate is held, the friendly conversation over coffee of just who are really some of the great voices in R&B, or maybe the great voices in anything, Jackie Wilson deserves to be, I think, probably on that Mount Rushmore. All right, 60 seconds. Let me get into the news with Gordon, then back on some calls with you. If I were to inject a half a clue into the Mike Pence campaign, does anybody in his camp even know how just stupid and weird it looks for him, who loyally served the Trump agenda, to now bag on him like he's a dog? The best path for Pence is to say, I supported the Trump agenda and I was proud to. We made America better in a whole lot of ways. We had some differences about how January 6th worked out, but hey, I'm running now. You can choose between him or me. The agenda will be largely the same in terms of making America better. We have some stylistic differences in terms of leadership, but I think I'm the best candidate. Was that so hard? But no, in today's juvenile world, it's funny for me to point this out because Trump is the master of the middle school rage tweet and all that stuff. But he's sort of honed it to an art, and that's baked into Trump. He's the only guy that can really do that and pull that off. For Pence, it's just unbelievably dumb. For Christie, it's unbelievably dumb. You're not going to be able to peel away Trump supporters, which is what you've got to do to catch him, by insulting him. All righty, into the newsroom we go. Mark Davis, 832. Here's Gordon. The late Robbie Steinhardt on the violin. Rich Williams on the guitar. The Boys of Kansas. From Mask, 1975. Little Icarus, born on wings of steel. How I love these boys. This is before Left Overture, before Carry On Wayward Son and all the stuff where everybody discovered the Boys of Kansas. And, of course, the great Steve Walsh. Party 839-866-660-5759. Oh, I'll talk you through a six-minute record. No, that would not be right. That would not be right. Especially when we have calls to take and things to react to. Good grief, what a week. 866-660-5759. We are up 75 in Sherman. Hey, Tara. Mark Davis, happy Friday. How are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic.
Listen, I wanted to add to your Mike Pence soliloquy, on top of the things you've mentioned, I think it's arguably more important that what was put into Scott Atlas's book, A Plague Upon Our House, Mike Pence was put in charge of Trump's COVID response team. And as Scott outlines in his book, as Scott was called in by Trump to offer his opinion as an epidemiologist, Mike Pence was AWOL. He let Fauci and Deborah Birx run roughshod over our nation.
What?
In with their lockdowns.
All right. What would we have wanted Pence to do when the decision is ultimately Trump's?
Listen to other voices.
Okay.
He, as Scott Atlas says in his book, and I would just like anybody who is thinking about Mike Pence to pick up that book and read it. Scott was an independent voice, a Stanford researcher.
Atlas is great. Hoover Institute guy. Wonderful guy.
100%. And when I read that book, nothing made me madder than the way Mike Pence handled his position as the leader of that team. He did not lead that team. And he needs to account for that. He allowed Deborah Birx to go around the country and deliver to universities and governors her message of lockdown.
Well, okay, but real quick, but do you know who else? Anything that was done during the Trump administration, if you were pointing out things that by the Scott Atlas measure that right. the Trump administration did not find clarity on quickly enough. Anything you assign to that and assign blame to, anything that you attach to Pence, you also attach to Trump, because it's ultimately his administration. I'm not taking anything away from your point. If you want to kind of blister Pence for not being, you know, for not being Scott Atlas enough, I mean, okay, but everybody was on a bit of a journey. I mean, DeSantis had some early dances with the notion of shutting down some of public life in Florida before he found clarity. Virtually everyone had it wrong for at least weeks and a couple of months in the Absolutely. COVID drama. I think, Absolutely. You know, so I'm trying to remember if I've heard or cared about anything that Mike Pence has had to say about COVID in, I don't know, the last year or 18 months, because I think that's a far fairer measure than what folks were doing swirling around in the goofiness of mid-2020.
He should have to answer for it, just like Trump should have to answer for it.
Okay. Go ahead.
And in comparison, Biden has put Kamala Harris in charge of the border.
Well, let's not wander. You're totally right. I hear you there.
Trump put Pence in charge.
All right.
Of the COVID response team.
But ultimately, anything Kamala does or doesn't do is Biden. Anything Pence does or doesn't do is Trump. So if this is where you want to place the bar, and by the way, it's a thoroughly intellectually sound place to put the bar, is there anyone running for president who passes muster under this harsh light?
Well, you know, when Deborah Birx went down to Florida and spoke with Ron DeSantis,
mm-hmm.
Ron DeSantis had done his homework.
Mm-hmm.
He had done his research, and he rejected Birx's lockdown policy.
Okay. So, all right.
Ron DeSantis
might come closest.
As I recall, mm-hmm. did his own homework. Good answer.
Even Governor DeSantis had his journey, though. He was quicker in coming to clarity than a lot of people, and for that we give credit. By the time we're all going through this, though, as 2020 turns to 21, especially by the time we get to 21, Pence ain't vice president anymore. And I don't know. And this would be a really good question for Pence. As we were going through the horrible year of 21, did you retroactively realize that the initial responses to COVID were bad?
That is the question.
Right.
And it's the same with Trump.
Yeah. I think the answer from Trump is obvious. Yeah, no, I think the answer from Trump is obvious. I mean, the clearly came around to some clarity and some responsibility and et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So go ahead. I'm sorry. Wrap it up. Good job.
And I just wanted to harken back to Scott's book. You know, he was right there at the table with them when they're trying to determine what the response is going to be. He shows up with mountains of data. Birx and Fauci show up with nothing.
I know.
They have nothing. And that is the road we went down.
I assume, and it's funny, because as Scott's literary agent, I want to make sure we complete the job. Because, no, by the way, I'm all about the books. Is it a Plague Upon Our House? Did you mention that? Yeah, okay, gotcha. Yes. Well, listen, let's everybody hop to Amazon because I think that absolutely, absolutely belongs on everybody's shelf. And thank you, man. Appreciate it. Also, a friend of the show and recent guest, Admiral Brett Girard, and Memoir of a Pandemic, who actually was in the White House every day on stuff like this. And the story, listen, when the COVID story is written, and it's being written even as we speak, and as it fades farther into our rearview mirror, it is a story of everybody being some degree of wrong, virtually everybody that mattered in the beginning. The measure is how quickly, how open-minded were you, and with a properly opened mind, how long did it take you to realize that some of the early moves, the early lockdowns, even the early so-called science was simply flat out wrong? If you stuck with it and rode that ridiculous horse for years, shame. If you dusted yourself off, righted yourself, improved yourself, educated yourself, then I think that's something that should provide a certain latitude for, you want to call it forgiveness? I don't know. All right, 866-660-5759. Last night on Hannity, there's all kinds of reactions, the Trump indictment, the Paxton impeachment, others suggest the overall theme of weaponized law enforcement, of court actions and impeachment actions based on vendettas. A growing theme. And I've got a lot of stuff to play for you, even in our remaining like hour and 13 minutes together. But one of the first places I want to go, and you never waste time doing this. Last night on Hannity, he just hands it over to Mark Levin.
President Trump is 76 years old. If the Department of Justice gets his way, he will die in federal prison. Just by one of these counts, conspiracy to obstruct justice, which has a 20-year maximum sentence. This is a disgusting mark on American history for the future to come by these bandits in the White House, by the Democrat Party that don't play fair anymore. They don't want to just win elections. They want to take control of this country. They want one-party rule. And they have used the Department of Justice and the FBI to get what they want. Merrick Garland is a mob lawyer. That's what he is. Jack Reed is a rogue Soviet-style prosecutor. The Presidential Records Act is not a criminal statute, and it was never intended to be. The Espionage Act of 1917 was passed under Woodrow Wilson, another corrupt president. Woodrow Wilson used it to go after his adversaries, and they imprisoned 2,000 people. So I suppose over there at the Department of Injustice, and this clown prosecutor spent a lot of time at The Hague, they probably figured these laws could be used to try and entrap Trump. All these obstruction issues that they claim, where the former attorney general, Bill Barr, comes up here and bloviates about it, and all the formers coming on talking about obstruction, they have them on obstruction. There'd be no obstruction issue of any kind, not even in anybody's imagination, had they not criminalized this case. This is a document case. A document case where a president of the United States or a former president faces 100 years in federal prison? Is this some kind of a sick joke on the American people? Joe Biden says he never told them what to do. Joe Biden had to sign off on this becoming a National Archives case to have it go to the Department of Justice. Who does he think he's lying to? The American people?
This is a guy that's got documents from the time he was in the U.S. Senate, for God's sakes, in his garage. I don't want to hear from the legal analysts the technicalities about false statements and obstruction. This should never have been a criminal case. Willful retention of documents. Well, what's the unwillful retention of documents mean? They're throwing all these process crimes and all these crimes that grow out of the criminal investigation against Trump. What did he do with the documents? Did he sell them to the enemy? No. That's why we have an Espionage Act, not the trick of a president. What did he do? Did he burn them all? No. The government has all the documents back. So there is no violation of the Presidential Records Act at this point.
Told you it would be time well spent. Mark Levin last night on Hannity. So anytime the letters FBI arise, let me take a pause. We'll come back because it's the FBI that put Paxton associate Nate Paul in jail yesterday afternoon. What? Details of that story next. Mark Davis, 850.
The night is bitter. The stars have lost their glitter. The wind.
A year ago, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of the birth of Judy Garland. So now it's 101, but that's tomorrow. I'm reaching into the weekend for Judy Garland's birthday tomorrow. The Man That Got Away, recorded live in 1969. All righty. It's 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. So Nate Paul, it's funny, on the similar auspices that Levin was talking about, where the selective attention to certain things, what is this guy doing getting arrested now? Nate Paul was like 36 years old, was taken into custody by federal agents and booked into an Austin jail yesterday afternoon. It was not immediately clear what charges led to his arrest. The records show he was being held on a federal detainer for a felony. Okay, what felony? And why now? What exactly did Nate Paul do in the last few days or weeks that lead to his arrest now? What's changed in the last few days and weeks? Anything occur to anyone? Is it maybe the growing impeachment of his friend Ken Paxton? Is it possible that the impeachment monkeys feel that their case is ebbing? Is it they better do something to stigmatize and not just Paxton, but maybe every friend he ever had? I got to tell you, if you ever, mowed Ken Paxton's lawn, you better look for a knock at your door, because these folks need something, anything to add stigma to a case that's just going to marinate over the summer. Because it's going to be at least, it'll be August. They got to start by August 28th. It might be every bit of mid-August at least before this thing gets underway. And every day they want something in the news to make you think that Ken Paxton's a crook. So silly me, I'd like to know why Nate Paul was arrested. Maybe someone will tell us today. 858, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.